Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm sorry, you can sit there and look and play with all your silly machines as much as you like.
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
And tame again.
Crank up the music! Charge your glass! This nation is going to dance all night!
The most Monday night football stadium of all. A unique European double. Managers who really knew the club. Beanpole Ballon d'Or merchants. Unlikely Premier League players of the month. More AI-dubbed cult football moments. And Happy Hunting Grounds meets its arch nemesis. Bit of both. Brought to your ears by Goal Hanger Podcasts, this is the Football Clichés Quiz 12. Hello everyone, welcome to Football Clichés. It's the 12th running of the Clichés Quiz and our third pod-on-pod edition. We've taken on some quiz specialists, some Scotsmen, and we're still just about unbeaten. Entering the Lion's Den, the Fortress. This month, the Totally Football Show, one of the unofficial football podcasting big five, would you say? What a scalp this would be, Charlie.
Yeah, a bit of a derby for me against a podcast I appear on and have quizzed on. It's going to win either way.
Yeah.
But more accurately, if we win today.
Yeah, you share the Totally Show on your Instagram stories, but you never share clichés on there, do you? So, interesting.
Do you know why that is? Because I feel like I'd be doing clichés then all the time. Whereas Totally is more of like a... Yeah. It's less regular. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, nobody follows you on Instagram anyway,
exactly.
Do they? It's fine. Yeah, exactly.
Who uses Instagram?
Right, let's introduce our opponents for Team Totally. Today, first of all, Michael Cox, the winner of Clichés Quiz 5, 6 and 7... So he knows what he's walking into. You've probably got a handle of the vibe for today, haven't you?
To a certain extent, I don't think you can ever really prepare for Clichés Quiz, though. Sometimes I feel like I know what to revise for these kind of quizzes, but clichés, it really could be anything.
Yeah, and hopefully it's made you second guess on your side, your questions as well. Alongside you on Team Totally, Jay Harris, a clichés debut for you. What a baptism of fire this is. What would you say your specialist area is if you had to pick one?
Probably just say Brentford, but that feels like the easiest out possible and not the most inspiring specialist
very
subject.
Very Keith in the office.
The Athletic's Brentford correspondent showing his cards right there. And team member number three, it's Sasha Goryanov. A fascinating record you have, Sasha, in the lesser regarded Inter Totally Cup quiz. From what I can see, you either get dumped out in the first round or you go deep. What mood are you in today?
Well, the mood I'm in today, I think the pressure's off because I've clearly been drafted in as they're replacing for the cup-tied Charlie Eccleshare, who kind of has to play for you today.
He was never going to play for you, just to be clear.
So basically, I'm just going to go out then and run around a bit.
Right. Good to see. Right, Dave, there's been a win and a gallant draw for us so far in the pod versus pod edition of the Clichés quiz. Are we due a defeat, do you think? I sense the listeners kind of want us knocked off our perch.
I think this will definitely be our toughest opponent so far.
Okay.
I mean, as you've already said, Coxie has pedigree when it comes to quizzes. Sasha and Jay as well. I think it's going to be difficult for us today.
Okay. Well, let's remind everyone of the format. Each team have brought their dinner in the form of three rounds of five questions. A total of 25 points will be on offer if you get the maximum. We will kick off our first round first. And Team Totally, are you ready?
Yes.
Let's do this. Round one, question one. Since the start of the 2010-11 season to the end of this campaign, which Premier League stadium has been the venue for the most Sky Sports Monday night football fixtures?
But that was from 2010-11, did you say?
Yeah, to the end of this season, so it includes scheduled games.
So 10-11 is when Sky got the rights back after Monday Night Football had been on
the
ESPN.
The return of Monday Night Football. Exactly, yeah, they made a big thing of that.
Villa Park, were they down for too long?
What, 3 years they were down.
But Goodison's not a bad shout.
So basically, it's basically big teams who aren't in Europe. You get a bit of a boost from that, don't you? I'm thinking Everton or Villa.
I'm thinking Everton. That was my first.
The point about Villa being down for 3 years is probably a good point. I do feel like Everton is quite Monday Night Football. Goodison Park.
West Ham? No, they've been in Europe then.
Fulham have been down a few times, so I wouldn't put Fulham in there.
I'm fairly keen on Everton, I must say.
Okay.
Let's go for Everton.
You're having Goodison Park as the most under-the-lights Premier League stadium, are you? I see the logic. I would have been that way inclined as well. But Dave, you did the research for this. Talk us through it.
So Goodison Park is the second most Monday Night Football ground, with 15 appearances in that time period. But number one with 16 appearances is Selhurst Park.
Wow. Okay.
I was thinking Selhurst Park, but I thought probably not glamorous enough.
It's incredibly under the lights.
When you think, so you've got the Kasami goal, you've got the 3-0 with Liverpool. Some big games. Yeah, fair play.
I would hate to be the one to tell you that I did get this correct when Adam asked me this morning. That's neither here nor there, though.
Right then, question two for your round one. Dave, would you like to take that away?
Okay, question two. Continental underachievers. Can you name the highest ranked nation never to have won a European club trophy?
My first thought, have Denmark ever won anything? And they're quite high in the rankings, I think.
Are they club rankings or UEFA rankings? Like nation rankings or club rankings?
These are the European nations in the FIFA rankings. So the decisive rankings of European nations and their clubs within.
Turkey have done it. Romania have done it. Bulgaria haven't. They aren't that good. Yugoslavia hasn't done anything post. Poland?
How high are they ranked? Have they done well recently?
They're close-ish. I mean, they can't be that bad. Because, I mean, everything else is a series that's won. It's Switzerland.
Jay, you cover about five Danish players. Where are they ranked in the FIFA ranking?
I feel like Denmark are probably higher than Poland because they obviously got to the Euro semi-finals. Yeah. I think they've done well in the Nations League as well. They definitely were at the last World Cup. I think they've been at the most recent few World Cups. So if Denmark haven't done it, then they're definitely up there.
Yeah, because Sweden have done it, so they're out. No way out. Rubbish. Yeah, Denmark sounds like a good shout.
Unless Austria good at the moment, if they ever won anything.
Under Rangnick.
Yeah. Mr. Ralf Rangnick's Austria.
Yeah.
Who's their manager, by the way?
So they haven't done best to the 85 final, have they? Rapid against Everton. They've never won it, I don't think.
Yeah, I reckon Denmark. Because, Denmark, Euro semi-finals.
I don't think I can hear you say Denmark one more time without committing to it as an answer. Are you going for Denmark?
Let's go for Denmark.
I can tell you that Denmark are 21st in the FIFA rankings. Denmark are the 11th highest ranked European nation in the FIFA rankings. But they are not the highest ranked nation to have not won a club trophy in European football. I thought it was going to be Croatia. I thought Croatia hadn't won a European trophy, but Dinamo Zagreb won the Fairs Cup in 1967. But Sasha, your initial instinct was correct. It was Switzerland.
Oh, right. Where are they?
Switzerland are just above, two places above Denmark, in fact, in the FIFA rankings.
They're always too high because they never play friendlies or whatever, so the ranking stays high.
The rankings are all over the shop, quite frankly.
A shame. Right. Sasha, you got to back yourself. Two from two here where you've had the right answer. Yeah, but
right then, question three, still to get on the board, team totally. Charlie.
Question three. Ajax and the city of Amsterdam completed which double in 1987? A feat that has never been done in any year before or since. And from what we can see, won't happen again until 2031 at the earliest.
That final bit is a purely a speculative opinion. It could happen. It's not like an eclipse or something. It could theoretically happen. But, you know, footballistically, I'm placing a lot of doubt on it.
Is it like win Eurovision and the Champions League or something? I don't know.
No, the Cup Winners' Cup, I think they won that year.
I think they won the Cup Winners' Cup.
Yeah.
There was a year where I think three Ajax players had the top three in the Ballon d'Or.
Ooh.
It would make more sense for it to be 88, wouldn't it?
Well, why would 2031 factor into that?
I'm going to ignore that bit because it sounds like it's leading us down a wrong path.
True. Underhand tactics from Mikkelsen, yeah.
Showing us true colours.
I'm just reading out the question, Sasha.
But it's the city of Amsterdam is the weird bit, because it's not just the club.
Was the cup final there or something?
Can I throw in a bit of extra context? Not to help you, just because make the question even more interesting. I can tell you that Royal Antwerp were one game away from securing this double for their city in 1993.
I think it's to do with Cup Winners' Cup. Winning Cups Winners' Cup on home territory. But the Cup Winners' Cup doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So it can't happen in 2031.
Amongst your deliberations, you got warm.
You're focusing a lot on the teams, but you're not focusing on the cities a lot. Broaden your horizons a bit.
Is it like Amsterdam with a European city of culture or something random like that?
I'm not sure. I think I'm going to have to pass.
Completing a double in the stadium in your hometown, that's about as good as I can get.
Let's
but
go for 2031
that. Makes no sense.
Winning a European trophy in your home city. I can tell you that's incorrect, I'm afraid. Ajax and Amsterdam are the only team and city combination to have ever completed the wonderful double of winning a European trophy and, Jay Harris, the European capital of culture.
So close.
Should we just talk less?
Yeah, I think that is the lesson here.
Oh, dear.
Antwerp was the European capital of culture in 1993, but unfortunately their team fell at the final hurdle, Parma, at Wembley in the Cup Winners' Cup final. But yeah, the reason I don't think it will happen until 2021 because there's so many very obscure cities until then, but Spain are allowed to have a European capital of culture in that year. Apparently it's just dished out. So you would hope Sevilla or something will sort them out.
One to keep
anyway,
an eye on.
Very much so. Right, 0 out of 3 for you. Let's hit question 4. Having examined UEFA's rolling 5-year club coefficient, I wanted to find the two biggest clubs never to have played each other in any competitive game. Two of these combinations haven't played each other. One of them has. Which of these combinations has happened? PSG versus Roma, Real Madrid versus Inter, or Barcelona versus RB Leipzig?
So they're looking for the combination that has happened.
Yeah.
Two of them haven't.
So I reckon Barcelona Leipzig hasn't happened. So Real definitely played Milan, but have they played Inter? PSG Roma. Like, PSG were nobodies until the 90s, really.
Roma haven't really been a Champions League club when PSG have been in the equation.
But have they met, like, in Cup Winners' Cup at some point?
Yeah.
Real Inter sounds way obvious, but did they?
I'd say that one has happened.
It's one of those games that feels like we would have heard if it had never happened before.
Yeah, I agree with that. Weirdly, the only time I can think of them playing is in a friendly. I remember a young Adriano scored at the Bernabeu, and that was a big thing.
Stunning free kick.
That doesn't really help us.
Come on.
Oh, let's go Real Inter.
Real Madrid versus Inter is correct. It has happened. It's happened on several occasions in European competition. PSG Roma has never happened. Nor has Barcelona versus RB Leipzig, a little more understandably. You're on the board. 1 point for Team Totally after 4 questions. And Dave Walker, give them their final question of the round.
Question 5 of round 1. Name 2 players standing 6'2" or taller to win the Ballon d'Or.
Wikipedia's word is final here. And I can tell you Wikipedia's word is generally bollocks on this, but that's just the way we're gonna have to do it.
So sorry, 6'2" or over.
Six yes. foot two yes, or taller. Yes.
188.
We're definitely not doing it meters and centimeters.
Is Cristiano Ronaldo over and Kaká?
I think Ronaldo might be 6'1". Could be wrong.
What about Kaká? Or is he just deceptively taller than
he is? Yeah. Johan Cruyff was tall. I mean, it's actually quite a good fact if there's not many of them, because I'm going through the list and...
As discussed before on the Football Clichés podcast, 6'2", is it tall? Is it genuine height? Is it deceptive height? It's not clear.
Charlie Eccleshare's 6'2". Does he look like he's ever won the Ballon d'Or?
A goalkeeper that's won the Ballon d'Or.
But it's just Yashin, right?
Was he 6'2" though?
Probably not. No one was 6'2" in those days.
That's just evolution.
Except from the big man from Ripley's, believe it or not.
Robert Pershing Wadlow. 8'11".
Was Matthias Zama tall?
No, he wasn't that tall.
So the only centre-backs are him and Cannavaro in recent times. Cannavaro definitely wasn't 6 foot.
Come on, let's have at least one from you to kick us off. A tall person to have won the Ballon d'Or.
I interviewed Shevchenko recently and I can't remember how tall he was.
Was he sitting down, was he?
He was, sadly, yeah.
Some of the worst deliberations I've ever heard here.
I don't think it's Shevchenko.
I agree. Well, right, maybe it is Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo, that is.
I hate to admit it, but I'm just trying to remember the statistics on FIFA's ultimate team cards that actually have the height of the players.
Ooh.
Just trying to rack my brain. So that's why I don't think it's Shevchenko. I feel like he's 5'11". But of course, this is Wikipedia's ranking, so who knows? Could be a few curveballs in there.
Hang on, how tall is Benzema?
I don't think he's 6'2".
No? I think Cruyff could be 6'2". What do you guys think?
I need two answers from you.
I'm not as convinced on Cruyff, but if you two think he is, then...
No, I have no idea. I'm sitting here trying to sort of rank players in terms of their height, whether they're taller or shorter than me, and I just can't do it.
Jay, what would you go for?
Do you think Cristiano's 6'1"?
I would guess 6'1", but I don't have any better answers, and 6'1" is quite close to 6'2". So let's assume there's a margin of error in my thinking. Okay, Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo is correct. He is 6'2".
Yes.
So you're halfway there.
Oh, what about Ruud Gullit?
Ooh.
He was tall.
Yeah, I like Gullit.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go Ruud Gullit.
The 6'3" Ruud Gullit is correct.
Great stuff. Well done.
Yeah, well done indeed.
How tall was Johan Cruyff?
Johan Cruyff was 5'10", according to...
No, really?
Yeah, I know. The whole thing really? Is shambles. Equally shambolic. These are the two other answers you could have had. Marco van Basten.
Did think that, but I didn't think he was 6'2".
And Lev Yashin, which is just a complete joke. There's no way he was 6'2". There's a picture of him standing next to Eusebio, who is apparently 5'9", and they're exactly the same height. The whole thing is a shambles. Wikipedia, what are you doing? But anyway, you've got your point. You've got 2 points after round one. Well done to you. Right, over to you.
Right, yes. I'm slightly worried that my questions are a little bit easier than those ones, but here we go. My first round is called Knows the Club. It's a themed round, and it's a celebration of the fact that obviously, clubs love appointing managers who have once played for that club. Sometimes towards 20, 30 years beforehand, still have an innate understanding of the club's philosophy. So I'm simply going to give you a person and 4 clubs. And I want you to tell me which of those 4 clubs the relevant person has both played for and managed. And there's no funny business here. There's no caretaker spells. Anyway, here we go. Number one, Harry Redknapp. The clubs are West Ham, Bournemouth, Portsmouth and Queen's Park Rangers.
Oh, that's hard.
So just to clarify, I want to know which of those clubs he played for and managed.
Okay.
So
he definitely played for and managed West Ham.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Bournemouth as well.
Bournemouth is the other one that jumps out just because of where he's based and all of that.
He didn't play for Portsmouth. He didn't play for Portsmouth.
No. Is it there's just one correct answer?
No. I want you to... It could be 0, it could be 4, but I want you to tell me all the clubs.
Okay.
West Ham, Bournemouth, Portsmouth and QPR.
QPR, I don't know enough about his playing career. I don't know if he would have played for them.
I don't think he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he feels quite QPR, but I'm not buying it. Although it feels like a curveball that could have happened. And it does feel a bit too easy going for West Ham and Bournemouth here. I'm 99% sure that Portsmouth is right.
Don't overthink it. I think West Ham and Bournemouth.
All right, let's do it. West Ham, Bournemouth.
Very good. Managed West Ham and Bournemouth and played for them both. And yes, he had spells at Portsmouth and QPR as a manager, but never played for them. Very good. Question 2. It's Terry Venables. And you've got Tottenham, Queen's Park Rangers, Crystal Palace and England.
Oh,
he definitely played for England.
Did he? At senior level?
Or did he not?
He must have done, mustn't he? The playing career he had, I mean, he was like Spurs and Chelsea.
What player he was, by the way.
I think he did.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't loads of caps, but I'm sure he did.
So Spurs is yes, isn't it?
Yeah, he's played and managed for Spurs. Did he manage Palace, or was he just part of like that weird consortium and he was like a chairman? Did he manage them as well?
He did manage them. In like 98 or something.
I know less about his playing career than I knew about Redknapp's.
I know. I mean, did he play for Palace?
I watched a documentary about him not that long ago. It's really good, actually.
Did they do much on his time at Palace?
Stop saying Palace. I've got a horrible feeling he never played for England at senior level. There's like pictures of him looking really precocious, but for the England under 21s or schoolboys or something. But I feel like he might not have. But then maybe that would be a thing.
I've got a feeling he might have played for all of them.
It's a weird option to throw in if he didn't play for England.
I quite like the idea that he's just played for all of them. I'm all for it.
Fuck it. Should we just do that?
Yeah, I'm all for it. I like it. Go on.
So you're going that he knew the club at all four?
Yes.
Knew the country.
Knew the country. Played for and managed Tottenham and QPR and Crystal Palace, and was the only footballer to play for England at schoolboy, youth, amateur, under 23, and the full international side.
Yes.
So very good.
Come on.
So you're two from two so far. Okay. Question three in this round is Steve Bruce, and the clubs are Birmingham, Sheffield United, Huddersfield and Norwich.
Norwich, yes. Sheffield United, yes. Birmingham, yes?
Yeah, because he went there from United, didn't he? As in player-wise.
Okay.
And he definitely managed Birmingham, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
In like the mid-noughties.
Yeah, got them promoted.
Oh, is there any doubt that he managed any of these teams? I thought that was the point of the question.
Say again. So say the four clubs again.
Birmingham, Sheffield United, Huddersfield, Norwich.
I don't think he played for Huddersfield.
So I think Birmingham, Sheffield United, Norwich is fine.
Definitely played for Sheffield United?
Definitely played for Sheffield United. He did.
When did he? Like after Birmingham?
I don't remember the Birmingham playing days.
I'm almost positive he went to Birmingham as a player from United.
I'm trying to stop myself from Googling it. I'm happy to risk it. That was definitely the move
from United, unless he went straight there as a manager. But that would have been pretty
weird. I've
got
some player manager vibes at Sheffield United, actually, as well.
Well, Sheffield United, he was managing them in 99 because he was the manager when there was the Arsenal not giving the ball back. But would he have played for them? He would have had to have played for them in between, which is possible.
I think he did.
Between Birmingham and Sheffield United. And then when did he...
He started his career at Norwich.
Did he? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he did.
And when did he manage them?
Oh. He's never managed Norwich.
Yeah. Okay. So then they're not in it.
Okay. Cool.
Did he have a little spell
he's
there?
Not managed, no, it just sounds like something that should have happened, but it definitely hasn't.
I think maybe the only answer is Birmingham. Maybe the other three he either played or managed, but didn't do both. But he definitely did both for Birmingham.
Okay, I like the psychology of it, and I'm going to bottle my convictions. So, okay, fine. Birmingham only.
Played for and managed Birmingham. Huddersfield, he just managed. Norwich, he just played for. But Sheffield United had 10 games and managed them. I'm afraid.
Unlucky.
Finally.
Yeah. So two from three so far. Your number four is Fabio Capello.
Ooh.
And the clubs are Milan, Juventus, Roma, Italy.
That's tough. He managed Italy? I don't think he has.
That's a really good question.
I took it for granted. I went, oh, I've got it. And it's like, he hasn't managed Italy. Definitely played for them. Scored against England at Wembley, I remember. Not in my life.
When he became England manager, he'd never managed an international team.
Don't think so.
Is that right? I mean, that sounds like it's possible.
I don't think he had.
He hasn't managed Italy. When would it have been?
Because he'd been at Real Madrid and Milan.
Yeah.
He had the famous... Yeah, and Roma, he'd never failed, had he, really, before England? And then he did Russia.
So he's managed Milan, and he's played for Milan.
Yeah, Milan must be.
He's managed Roma, but I don't think he played for them. And has he managed Juventus?
Yeah, he's managed Juventus.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
But I don't think he played for them either. So I'm tempted to go Milan only, but that's the extent.
What was his playing career then?
I think he did play for Roma.
No idea.
Because he must have knocked around... Like, surely he wouldn't have just played for Milan.
It is Serie A, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he did play for Roma. I've got an image of him in a Roma shirt.
And that's definitely not just him sort of managing them with Roma shirts close by. Because I know what you mean. I can also kind of see it, but I'm not sure if that's just...
I'd go for Roma over Juventus playing-wise. So let's go... I think we should go for Milan and Roma only.
Okay, yeah. Go for it.
Well, you're right that he didn't manage Italy, which I thought might trip you up, but he played for and managed all the other three.
Fair play.
With Roma, Juventus, Milan, he played for in that order, and Milan, Roma, Juventus in that order.
Didn't he? Yeah, because I could see him in the Juve shirt. Did he play against Liverpool in one of those European Cup finals?
It was the side he played for most. Six seasons there, 165 games. 2 from 4 so far. And your final one in the Knows the Club round is Ronald Koeman. And the clubs are Barcelona, Ajax, Feyenoord and PSV.
Barcelona, he's done both, hasn't he? Didn't he manage them like more recently than he should have done?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's done them. He's done both of them.
Ajax, I think he has managed, hasn't he? And he did play for them.
Did he? When did he manage them?
I can't even tell you when he played for them either. So
who would he have managed before he... Southampton was his first English club, right? Who did he come to Southampton from?
Yeah, that's a good question. Where had he done well?
Between his 8 spells as the national team manager. Yeah.
I feel like Feyenoord. He managed
Feyenoord.
He played
for PSV.
Had he not managed at one of those... at like an AZ or someone like that? Not that
irrelevant, really.
No, but I'm just thinking where he's well, not totally, but I'm trying to think where he'd sort of, why Southampton appointed him. I feel like that might have been from overachieving at one of the smaller Dutch clubs.
He would have been
that sort of thing.
But I don't think he was at Alkmaar. Was Van Gaal, was it Alkmaar? Did he win the league?
Van Gaal was at Alkmaar, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
But they could have both done it.
Don't think he's managed PSV despite playing for them.
I can't picture him as an Ajax manager.
No, no.
I don't know.
Well, so we've got Barcelona's definite. I would say Ajax, no. And then I don't know why, but I'm leaning towards Feyenoord for the other one. But that's not really based on any intelligence.
Yeah, me too. Barcelona and Feyenoord.
Well, he played for all... 4, and he managed all 4 as well.
Well, that's surprising.
151 games in charge of Ajax, 63 for PSV, 118 for Feyenoord, and 67 for Barcelona. So, yeah, knew all 4 clubs very well.
Does that dilute how well you know a club if you sort of also if you also know all their rivals? Does it help, maybe?
Well, good start. After round 1, then, we're locked 2-2. Contrasting fortunes. We move into round 2, respective audio rounds. Let's kick off our traditional round 2, the dubbing round. I've dubbed some cult audio football moments into foreign languages using AI. You just have to tell me who it is or what the scenario was. Who or what? First clip, who have I dubbed into Italian?
Puoi vedere tutto quel calcio qui dove trasmetteremo tutto il calcio, tutto il tempo. Guarda tutto il calcio che succede costantemente qui. È tutto qui ed è tutto calcio, sempre. Comunque è impossibile tenere traccia di tutto il calcio. Ma tu, la migliore occasione è qui. Migliaia e migliaia di ore di calcio, ognuna più emozionante dell'ultima. Costante, vertiginosa, 24 ore su 24, tutto l'anno, senza fine. Calcio, ogni biglietto è enormemente importante per qualcuno, presumibilmente.
David Mitchell.
Okay.
You know, he goes around, I think it's Loftus Road, just shouting.
Yeah, it's very, very fast tempo, isn't it? I get that. Jay, you on board with that?
I have no idea. All I know is, didn't he say 24, which is like 24 or something like that?
Okay, yeah, because he kept on saying football, 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 all football, all the time, football, 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 more football.
Let's go for that.
Let's see if you're right.
You can catch all of that football here, where we'll be showing all the football all the time. Catch all of the constantly happening football here. It's all here and it's all football always. It is impossible to keep track of all the football, but your best chance is here. Thousands and thousands of hours of football, each more climactic than the last. Constant, dizzying, 24-hour, year-long, endless football. Every kick of it massively mattering to someone, presumably.
There you go.
That's class.
Well done.
Right, clip 2 from the dubbing round. Who or what have I dubbed into Spanish? Now, listen very carefully here. That's all my advice is.
Para ser justo, has hecho un gran trabajo. Porque pensé que tendrías dificultades después de tomar eso. De verdad lo pensé, realmente lo creí. Pensé que cualquiera que no pueda tocar, que no pueda escribir. Si no puedes tocar la guitarra, pensé, realmente sufrirías. Gary Barlow. Probablemente guarde algo de todo. No, cancelado.
El niño Martín,
te lo digo, no.
Sosténme
lo
has mal. Hecho brillantemente. Talento. Muchas gracias.
Sí, hecho de maravilla.
Aparte de eso.
El final de la canción.
¿Qué he logrado?
Fue
he logrado una
de primera, cosa. Tengo que decirlo.
Did you say Gary Barlow?
Yeah, that's all. Gary Barlow's all I heard. And I'm struggling to think of Gary Barlow in any iconic football moments. Gary Barlow? Who's ever mentioned Gary Barlow? It's not some like soccer aid thing, is it?
Not a bad shot.
You can hear it one more time if you want. Yep.
Para ser justo, has hecho un gran trabajo. Porque pensé que tendrías dificultades después de tomar eso. De verdad lo pensé. Realmente lo creí. Pensé que cualquiera que no pueda tocar, que no pueda escribir, Si no puedes tocar la guitarra, pensé, realmente sufrirías. Gary Barlow. Probablemente guardia. No, cancelado.
El niño Martín,
te lo digo, no.
Sosténme, vos de los 80, lento. Muchas gracias.
Sí, hecho de maravilla.
Aparte de eso.
El final de la canción.
¿Qué he logrado? Fue he logrado una
de primera, cosa. Tengo que decirlo.
I can't think of anything ever involving Gary Barlow. In Gary he just Barlow. Seems like such an unfootball man, doesn't he?
Not a football man, Gary Barlow.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I mean, should we just take a generic guess at Robbie Williams talking at Soccer Aid or something? I don't know.
Robbie Williams talking at Soccer Aid.
Yeah, that iconic moment.
Let's see.
To be fair, like, you've done really well because I thought you would struggle after take that. I did honest. I really did think. I thought anybody who can't play, who can't write, who can't play guitar, I thought really struggle. Gary Barlow probably kept the band.
Apart from that,
no,
Martin.
Hold on. I'm telling Robbie, you now, you have done brilliantly.
Apart from that, you've got a lot of talent. Thank you very much. Apart from that, what have I actually done?
You have done brilliantly. The Angel song was top class, I have to say that.
In my naivety, I mean, Gary Barlow was a great spot as well, but I thought you'd get Alan Hansen just wading in halfway through as well. That was probably the best dubbing of the lot. But yeah, that's Martin O'Neill meeting Robbie Williams during the BBC's coverage of France 98.
My slightly crap Spanish, I've written down sing, write, talent. Still didn't get it.
Stunning.
Incredible.
Wow.
Oh,
unlucky. Wow. Halfway
anyway,
there.
1 point for you in round two so far. You lead 3-2. Let's hear your third question. Who or what have I dubbed into German?
Also in 7 Jahren, mit 4 verschiedenen Trainern, wenn ihr euch nicht für Europa qualifiziert, beides sind in der Gruppenphase und das Beste war das Viertelfinale. Das ist Fußball, das ist Ehre.
Is that Jose?
Sounds Mourinho.
In 7 years with different managers, when you haven't got past the group stage quarterfinal, it's United related, right?
Yeah.
And it sounds like Jose. But which year is it? Which bit is it? Football heritage.
When he's kind of talking about this being like his best achievement, taking United to second or whatever it was.
Yeah. I think that's a good shout. And it's the kind of thing that is ripe for picking for this. So I like that idea.
Going with it?
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
So in 7 years, with 4 different managers, once not qualify for Europe, twice out in the group phase, and the best was a quarterfinal. This is football heritage.
Very good. Well done, Sash.
Good work.
Excellent work. Right, you lead 4-2. Let's head into your fourth clip of round two. Who or what has been dubbed into Dutch?
Ik had zo'n vermoeden toen ik hier kwam voor de Champions League. Liverpool of Arsenal. Ik dacht misschien dat we een van hen zouden loten. En het is Arsenal, denk ik. Een van de moeilijkste teams in de loting. En ik denk dat het heel, heel moeilijk wordt voor onze spelers. Maar ook een geweldige ervaring. We hebben een jong team. En het ervaren van grote wedstrijden in de Champions League is belangrijk.
I think he's trying to be clever. I think this is the Steve McLaren Dutch accent in Dutch. It's either that or Steve McLaren's Dutch accent was fantastic at the time.
Go for it.
I sort of knew when I came here in the Champions League, Liverpool or Arsenal. I thought maybe one of them we would draw, and it is Arsenal, I think. One of the toughest teams in the draw, and I think it will be very, very difficult for our players, but also a great experience. We have a young team, and to experience big games, Champions League, Arsenal.
It's the same fucking clip.
Oh, that's good.
Barely needed dubbing.
Oh, that's great, Coxie.
Yeah, fair enough. Well done to you. You lead 5-2. Let's go into your final question of the dubbing round. Who or what has been dubbed into French?
Pouvez-vous éclaircir un point pour nous? Avez-vous été averti après le penalty? Oh, oui, j'ai été averti. Vous savez que cela signifie que vous êtes hors de la finale maintenant.
Oui, je voudrais bien.
Oui, malheureusement, cela signifie que vous ne jouez pas dans la finale.
L'occasion. Talking about a penalty in a final.
I didn't get anything there, really, I must say.
I'll hear it one more time.
Pouvez-vous éclaircir un point pour nous? Avez-vous été averti après le penalty? Oh, oui, j'ai été averti. Vous savez que cela signifie que vous êtes hors de la finale maintenant.
Oui, je voudrais bien.
Malheureusement, cela signifie que vous ne jouez pas dans la finale.
L'occasion.
Vous jouez pas à la finale. You're not going to play in the final.
Oh, that is that Shreve Stojanovic when he just keeps on saying, "I can confirm." You know, you're not going to play in the final. Yes, I didn't get any of the French, but that if your translation's right, then that is surely it.
Yes. Yeah, you're not playing in the final. Yeah, okay, go for it, yeah.
Can you clear one thing up for us? Were you booked after the penalty?
Yeah, I booked.
You know that means you're out of the final now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that means you don't play in the final.
Unfortunately.
Oh, God. Oh, that's actually so heartbreaking.
It really is.
No more crushing noise in football quizzing than Coxie going, oh! 6-2 totally lead after their round two. Time for us to enter the second round. Bring it on.
Okay, my round two is Costa producer Charlie, who I should say is the defending or reigning Intertotally champion.
Ah.
And he's come up with five clips of a Premier League Player of the Month winner. And the clips are commentary clips from that particular month with the names bleeped out where relevant. And just say it can be from any competition. So it's Premier League Player of the Month, but the goal or the incident could be from the FA Cup, for example. That all clear?
Yes.
Yeah.
So are we telling you the player that it's about?
You just have to get the player. Okay. It doesn't have to be the month or whatever, just what player it is.
Charlie, you will obviously get the month, I'm sure.
Okay, this is clip one.
And then, oh, what a goal on the turn! Whatever can do, so can his brother. That was an absolute corker.
Ooh, brother.
Brother? That be IU?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Feels about the era, but I mean that
it's not going to be Phil Neville, is it?
No. So,
who's that commentator?
That is Ian Duck.
Yeah, so he could be doing BT or something.
Yeah, it could be IU kind of era. So are we going for Andre or Jordan?
Well, hold on. I mean, are there any other brother combos? Anything his brother... Torre. Could be a Torre.
But anything his brother can do, do you know what I mean? What's Colo done?
Well, could it have been when like Swansea played Villa or something and they both scored in the same game?
Oh, I quite like it. There's not been that many brother combinations.
How many other
in the
brothers? Yeah.
Because why would you say anything his brother can do if he hadn't done something either very soon before in the same match or like massively notable?
That would definitely be the context. Have they ever played in the same team? They played together, the IU brothers.
But they might have played against each other, that's the thing.
No, I know, but I'm just wondering as well, have they?
Don't know.
Don't think so. Not in Premier League.
Jordan played for Villa Palace. Andre played for Swansea.
Yeah, I think this is Jordan IU. I think it's good.
Yeah, should go for it.
Should go with that.
This doesn't help you, but that was the answer I went for when Charlie played the clip to me. Here is the answer.
I know the goal as well. Of course it is. It's that ridiculous goal. Oh, what a shame. That's a shame.
Ferdinand,
poor from us. That's poor from us.
Yeah.
I was thinking strikers.
I agree with all your logic. It doesn't really make sense. Rio Ferdinand wasn't known for scoring goals like that. But that's Ian Dark for you, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, clip two. Same concept.
Come on,
here
guys.
We go.
Let's do it.
Ooh, old school.
Is that guy, Mickey Evans or something like that? What a buy from...
Oh, Southampton.
Yeah, 97. He kind of kept them up.
Oh,
he was a striker.
He won Player of the Month.
Yeah,
definitely.
I can well imagine he did get Player of the Month. Was that his name, Mickey Evans?
Mickey Evans, you're absolutely right. Great shout.
Here is the answer.
And Mike Evans, what a buy from Plymouth.
You're right, he very much was a Mickey Evans. That's the only time I've ever heard him called Mike Evans.
Well done, Charlie.
I can remember so vividly being in the Science Museum and Goals on Sunday was playing and there was Mickey Evans scoring in that run to keep Southampton up.
Goals on Sunday was playing in the Science Museum?
Yeah, it was quite high. It's a hi-fi place. It was April 97 as well. Incredible scenes.
Okay, so one out of two so far. Here is clip three.
Here is... And he scores for Everton. Everything he touches turns to goals at the moment.
Could that be Kadamatari or Yakubu?
I was also thinking Nikica Jelovic.
Yeah, could be.
Because he
yeah.
had a, everything he touches turns to goals, period. For
a second then, my brain hadn't shifted from the first question. I was going, Kubu and Kadamatri, you know, they're brothers. Famous footballing yeah, brothers.
the footballing brother. Can we just hear it, trying to work out kind of the yeah. era and who the commentator is?
It's quite a long name.
Here yeah. is. And he scores for Everton. Everything he touches turns to goals at the moment.
Everything all I would say about Kadamatri, while his name does fit the bleep, I don't think he scored enough goals for him to be in a situation where everything he touches
yeah,
turns to goals.
I think that's right. I think he's more bursting onto the scene, isn't he? The fact he says at the moment does suggest...
Did Kevin Campbell have a purple patch for Everton, like kept them up one
yeah,
year?
Yeah, he kept them up in 99.
Because it could be yeah. like, and it's that man, Kevin Campbell, or something, or...
Mm. Jelovic is a really good shout. I'm just thinking the at the moment, does that... Because Jelovic basically started incredibly at Everton, didn't he? Whereas at the moment has a slight... The commentator right. might just not be right about this, but that slightly suggests he's banging form currently, whereas Jelovic at that time seemed like, well, that's just him. He's a goal machine. Jelovic, I feel like he might... So that would have been like March 2012. I'm trying to think who else could have... That was like... Coming towards the end of the City winning the league season.
I'm more inclined towards Kevin Campbell, I have to say.
So that would have been April 99 or something.
Yeah.
Would there not...
Player of the month then?
Just trying to... I mean, that was like United coming towards the treble.
Yeah.
It's possible it was... Yeah, it's so... I mean, it's completely applicable to either of those two.
No idea.
The only thing is like, would Charlie do two relegation savers towards the end of the season? Like, are we just thinking that because we've just had one?
Can't deal with your logic, sorry.
Could be a double bluff. Go with Jelovic. Just back Ekelshire. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a complete
Nikita
flip
Jelovic.
Of a coin. All right, go Jelovic.
Here is Nikita Jelovic.
Yes!
And he scores for Everton.
We fucking needed that.
I'm regretting pushing for that
Everything
answer now.
He touches, turns to goals at the moment.
Ooh.
Excellent. Excellent.
Very good. Good deliberations. Ooh. Nearly went for too much logic, yeah. but there you go. Right. Clip four.
Well, Charlton weren't awarded a single penalty last season, but they have the chance now. With he scored superbly calmly. And Charlton Athletic, whose season has been so successful so far, have made a wonderful start today.
So a penalty for Charlton. They've started the season that's been so successful. I think 03-04 they started pretty well. That's like Di Canio era.
Danny Murphy was there for a bit after Tottenham or before Tottenham?
Before, I think.
He could have been on pens.
He could have been on pens. I just don't think he would have won. I don't remember him being that good that he would have won Player of the Month.
Di Canio feels more logical, but I don't remember his Charlton time very vividly.
He Baron did Bent. Have a good period. Like there was that amazing game against Chelsea on Boxing Day where Charlton won 4-1 or 4-2 or something, and he was the kind of inspiration. He's also high profile enough that he might have got it.
Darren Bent?
Yeah, they start... Well, that's a good point, actually. They started the 05-06 season really well, and Darren Bent was banging them in.
Was he on pens?
Most likely.
I feel like it's more Benty than Di Canio.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout. And just to rule out like Bartlett or Lisby.
Yeah, I think so. I think we can rule. I mean, there's not a great pool of players to choose from here. And I think if we ally your insane knowledge of how teams started off certain Premier League seasons with my instinct for who players might be, I think we might have it.
All right, okay. Let's go Darren Bent.
So you're going for Darren Bent ahead of Di Canio.
Yeah. Oh, fuck off.
Well, Charlton weren't awarded a single penalty last season, but they have the chance now with Danny Murphy. He scored superbly calmly.
Danny Murphy.
Danny Murphy, you said him, Dave. I just don't remember him being that good for them, that he would have won.
Yeah, he had a really good start to his Charlton career. I thought he'd get it from calm penalty.
Yeah.
He was, you know,
yeah.
Anyway, clip number five.
Huge.
Here we go.
We need this, yeah.
He's trying to play an advantage with... That's good footwork by the big Brazilian. Might be a shooting chance as well. Trying to curl it. Oh, that's brilliant. That's a fantastic goal with supposedly weaker foot.
Short name, Brazilian. Can we hear it one more time, please?
John Champion.
Yeah.
He's trying to play an advantage with... That's good footwork by the big Brazilian. Might be a shooting chance as well. Trying to curl it. Oh, that's brilliant. That's a fantastic goal with... Supposedly weaker foot.
Big, Brazilian.
Big Brazilian.
So I just went to check he was big. Right. Big Brazilians scoring goals with weaker feet from distance, curling efforts.
But with a bit of skill in the build-up. Yeah. Good feet.
Could have been Brazilian. A sort of ESPN era 2015-y time.
I think could be. Could that be Giovanni?
Is he a big Brazilian? He's not big, is he?
No, he's not. No,
he's not 6 foot
two.
No,
I completely agree. Yeah. No, it's not. We're talking about a striker here, surely.
Just thinking he was very flash in the pan and it's possible he would have got it in that early season Hull
just
period.
Not big. I'm telling you right now, not notably big. Champion would know his big men.
Joe?
I did think Joe. Short name as well, but didn't score. But did he?
Must have scored
I'm sorry, he scored a goal, but a high profile sort of crowd.
He was big.
Who was the Arsenal guy nicknamed the Beast?
Baptista. He barely scored a Premier League goal. I wonder if that's Giovanni against Arsenal at the Emirates.
It doesn't have to be Premier League, of course. We were warned this
true.
Beforehand.
Yeah, I don't think Baptista.
Big Brazilians.
Well, Giovanni doesn't fit into the... It can't be. The clip's too short. It's definitely a short name. Can't be Giovanni.
Okay, who are big Brazilians?
Fred never played in the Premier League, did he? Striker Fred. I think it's Joe. It's so short. Who else is there?
Gotta get it, though. Man United haven't had a big Brazilian.
Alfonso Alves.
No! Oh,
Alves.
Okay.
Alves is maybe just about short enough. Alves.
Big Brazilian. That could work. That could work. I think he did
Would
score
he ever have
a
got...
couple of very good goals.
He did score some.
I really think it's Joe because he is big. He's like he was lanky, wasn't he?
Well, I'll enjoy it if it is Alves anyway. So, how do we feel about Joe?
Was he left footed? Like, would that have been known enough for Champion to comment on it?
Only to people like you. I just go for Joe. Let's do it.
Here's the answer.
Referee's trying to play an advantage with Edu. That's good footwork by the big Brazilian. Might be a shooting chance as well. Trying to curl it. That's a fantastic goal with Edu's supposedly weaker foot.
Edu.
Arsenal Edu.
I know, yeah, I think it's the goal against Celta Vigo in the Champions League in 2004.
Yeah, you're right there, Charlie. He's one of only two players, along with Dennis Bergkamp, to have shared the Player of the Month award.
Was he big? Was he big, John Champion?
Wasn't big. Fuck off, John Champion.
He was tall, but that's like describing me as
well,
big.
I've just looked him up. He was 6'1", so if he'd won the Ballon d'Or, he wouldn't have been eligible earlier.
Oh, okay. Dear.
Fair enough.
So, at the end of that round, it is Totally Football Show 6, Football Clichés 4. It's all to play for. We're on the ropes as we go into round 3. We'll take a very short break. We'll be back shortly.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Football Clichés. The Football Clichés Quiz 12 is on a potential knife edge here. Totally Football Show leads 6-4 as we head into the third and final round. Our round 3 is, of course, Happy Hunting Grounds. I'm going to give you a combination of Premier League club and Premier League stadium according to a difficulty level of 1 to 3 of your choice. You've got to give me a player who has scored for that club at that stadium and the season in which it happened. If you only get the player correct, you get half the points on offer of 1 to 3. Your first Happy Hunting Grounds Are you going to go with level 1, 2, or 3? How many points are you hungry for?
I'd be sticking to 1s and 2s personally, guys. Don't know what you think.
Well, I mean, we've got the lead at the moment, so you don't need to be too keen.
Let's start with a 2.
You'll start with a 2. Your level 2 happy hunting grounds is Manchester United at St James's Park.
Right. I remember Scholes scoring maybe a hat-trick, at least 2, in I think a 6-2 in 0-2-0-3. I'm fairly sure it was 0-2-0-3 because it was the year where he scored a lot when he was playing as a number 10 behind Van Nistelrooy. That's the one that jumps out on me. One was a very Scholesy kind of long ranger driven into the top corner, I think.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Newcastle 2, Manchester United 6, with a treble that day. Paul Scholes. Well done. You lead 8-4. Right, let's have your first question of round 3, please.
Right, so my round is called A Bit of Both. I thought you would like that name.
Yeah.
And it's in honour of broadcasters' attempts to form punditry panels that feature representatives of both teams. So I'm going to give you a fixture from the past, the broadcaster, the presenter, and I want you to tell me who the pundits were for that particular game. The thing to be aware of is that obviously there's often usually a fixed pundit. So if it's BBC 1990s, you'll have Alan Hansen, for example. Okay. But otherwise, there are both sides represented. Okay. First of all, it's England's opening game of Euro 2012, 1-1 draw with France. That was on ITV. And was presented by Adrian Childs.
So what's our points range situation here? How do we earn...
Well, there's three pundits for every question.
Okay, got it.
Oh, wow.
One each.
So Neville would have been off the back of his first season...
Yeah.
Premier League, yeah.
His first season of Monday Night Football was 2011-12.
Yeah. So would he have got that gig that early on?
I think so. And then what about Roy Keane?
Would Ian Wright have been in the mix?
Would Wrighty have been on ITV then?
It's made for Wrighty.
Yeah, it does feel quite Wrighty. I mean, I reckon you were a Premier League Frenchman.
So it's Ginler or Desailly, I would say, would be the top two.
I was thinking Petit.
Yeah, Petit maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think by then.
No, I don't think Ginler. Desailly is a good shout.
Vieira.
Would Henri?
No.
Too big time. Or is it too big time?
So he would have been playing like MLS around then.
I don't think Henri's done ITV. Henri first did Sky and that was quite a big deal. We hadn't seen him as a pundit before.
Right. I think Ian Wright may well have done it.
I thought Neville would be a good shout, but...
It's just whether Neville was already big enough after one season. He'd have been for ITV's like first big game of that tournament.
Keane feels a safer bet, doesn't it? Dixon?
He's a co-coms man.
Do you remember that game when England played Poland and it got rained off?
Yeah, the qualifier?
Yeah. I think Keane was involved then. He was on the panel. And it was about 2010-ish.
It was
Euro 2012 qualifier, wasn't it? I think. Okay, so let's have Keane and a Frenchman. What Frenchman should we go for? Marcel Desailly?
Desailly's like the safe bet. It's just...
He might have been BBC.
Yeah, he was BBC.
I like the Petit shout.
Okay. Roy Keane, Emmanuel Petit, and let's have an English pundit.
Should we go Ian Wright?
Ian Wright. So we're going to go for Ian Wright, Emmanuel Petit, and Roy Keane.
I'm sorry to say it's 0 out of 3.
Oh no.
The Frenchman was not Emmanuel Petit, but his longtime midfield partner, Patrick Vieira.
I said Vieira.
I mean, it's a very impressive punditry panel looking back at it from 2024, because the other two were Jamie Carragher making his punditry debut, I assume.
That just feels so wrong to me.
Yeah. Carragher on ITV.
And the other one, and you'll kick yourself, was Gareth Southgate.
Yeah. That's annoying. That is annoying. He was big on ITV then, wasn't he? That's poor from us. And we trail 8-4 as we head into your second happy hunting grounds. What level are you going for? You're gonna creep this over the line, aren't you?
Should we stick with 2?
Yeah, definitely.
Level 2, happy hunting grounds. Your combination is Southampton at Stamford Bridge.
Oh, James Beattie scored a really early one, didn't he?
I knew you were going to go for that.
like 13 seconds or something.
Was it 97?
No, I think probably 02-03. That kind of era. Was that the year they got to the cup final? So they were quite good then. Was he in that team?
That is the cup final year.
Yeah. Well, we know that BT is great. It's just the year. Could have been 03, 04. Should we go 02, 03? The last one was 02, 03, but that's fine. Go for that, Adam. 02, 03, James Beattie.
James Beattie scored several goals at Stamford Bridge. In 02, 03, it was Chelsea 0, Southampton 0. The goal in question that you're thinking about, where he lofted it over Petr Cech's head, was 04, 05.
Wow.
First goal Mourinho's Chelsea conceded.
Chelsea won 2-1 that day. Goals from Frank Lampard. And an own goal from James Beattie.
Nice.
Extends your lead to 9 points to 4. You get a single point for naming Beattie at least. And okay, let's have our second question, please. A bit of both.
Right. It's 2015. It's Ireland against Germany.
Oh,
Euros qualifier on Sky Sports. David Jones is the presenter. And I'm going to give you the clue because it's a little bit tricky. It's 2-1 to Ireland in terms of the number of pundits. So you're looking for two Irishmen and one German.
Sky, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be Keane, hasn't it?
Yeah. Was he not involved in the coaching staff?
Oh, fuck.
I think he might have been.
You nearly made that mistake with Gary Neville.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Coach, yeah.
German-wise, I'm thinking Dietmar Hamann.
Diddy
Hamann.
Who else would have been, like, Kenny Cunningham? Was he knocking around doing punditry?
No, he does RTE. Keith Andrews,
yeah.
If he wasn't still playing at that point.
Would Matt Holland have done it for them? Good international pedigree.
Bit of a co-coms merchant, but yeah, he could. This was a qualifier.
Comfortable in a studio.
Was this a qualifier, did you say, Michael?
Yeah,
so it's not a tournament, so you can get away with slightly. You don't need to pull out the big guns necessarily.
There's not many other standout German candidates really here, are they?
Klinsmann?
No, he's not. Klinsmann isn't coming. He's not.
Get out of bed for that one. Friendly. No, I'm all right, thanks.
Pitzelsberger.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
I think Diddy Hamann, though, is your go-to. Yeah. Could have been on BN.
Niall Quinn.
Yeah, must have been.
Really?
I reckon so, because he was out of doing co-coms. I don't think he would have been doing co-coms still by then.
Okay, so I think Niall Quinn, Matt Holland and Diddy Hamann has got to get us at least
a point.
I mean,
it just sounds great. Let's do it. I mean, it's such a...
We need 5 points.
This sounds very much like when we're doing like a pre-Euros coming up with our hypothetical panel. So let's go with it.
Come on, Coxy. Help us out.
You've got 2 out of 3.
I would have taken it.
We'll take it, yeah.
Diddy Hamann is your go-to German. Niall Quinn, of course, was still knocking around. And the other one, and I must say, I think this is probably the hardest one on the quiz, was Pat Bonner was the third goalkeeper.
Wow.
Left field.
Not getting that.
Don't think I've ever seen on television before, but there you go.
Wow. Matt Holland must have covered that game for someone.
Fair play. I reckon you wouldn't surprise me if he was on co-coms, Matt Holland. But yeah, okay, good. 2 out of 3, we'll take it.
Right, totally lead 9 points to 6 as we head into the third question in the final round. What happy hunting grounds difficulty level are you going for this time?
Stick with a two.
Okay. Your combination is Liverpool at the London Stadium.
Oh, Sasha. Yeah.
Mo Salah COVID season. So that would have been 2020-21. And I was there. They went like from their own corner all the way back. And one of my first games back and I cycled over there. It was 3-1. Yeah, Salah 2021.
Bang on. Mo Salah at the double that day in a 3-1 victory. Both points to you. You lead 11-6, maintaining your 5-point lead. Coxy, give us a bit of both.
Right. This is Wigan 1, Manchester City 0 in the FA Cup.
Oh, my God.
From 2018.
Oh.
Presented by Gary Lineker.
Oh, right.
Three pundits.
You've got a BBC panel.
Oh,
Wigan.
Not the final. Sorry. No, okay, no. Right. Yeah.
Wigan against Manchester City in the FA Cup in 2018.
It's just
Martinez. Yeah. Surely they'd have got Roberto Martinez out.
This is a midweek.
Yep. It's a midweeker, yeah.
Yeah. Absolute banker. Yes. Unless it was Ben Watson.
I was going to say, would they have tried to get Ben Watson as well? Let's not rule that out. But yeah, let's go with that. And then City representative in 2018, Lescott, while he was still kind of
like
jumping around,
like
doing
that.
Various bits and bobs. He's in the mix.
Had he finished playing by then?
Villa got relegated in 2016 with him. And that's sort of, like, he might still have been, you can still do it while playing, can't you? He certainly wasn't knocking around. What about
Shear? I think Shear is just on. I think Shear is on. He's just.
Oh, we're
on
allowed
the panel,
some neutral pundits, right?
Yeah. There's three. Okay. I think Alan Shear is your main isn't he?
Could it have been his punditry bursting onto the scene, Micah Richards?
He didn't really start doing much until the following season. He might have done, though. It could be an early one, but.
Because it's tricky with these ones, because they sometimes do get the kind of, they'll spring a bit of a surprise and have somebody on.
Could it have been the first ever time that Lineker, yeah, Shearer and Richards were together?
Oh, I like this. I like this. Let's go for Alan Shearer, Roberto Martinez and Micah Richards.
Very close. You got 2 out of 3. Oh. It wasn't Richards. It was Jolyon Lescott, I'm afraid.
That, I think, might be the quiz, Charlie. That might be it.
Yeah.
That is the biggest sliding doors moment.
I shouldn't have thrown Richards in. Just keep Lescott. Lescott was the safer bet.
11-8 the score in Totally's favour. Your fourth happy hunting grounds, please.
Stick with the two.
Of course you will. Of course you will. Right. Come on. Come on, algorithm. Is Manchester United at the Stadium of Light?
What comes to mind is that game where Keane and McAteer had a big fight.
The most ridiculous piece of Premier League body language of all time. Just say it to him.
Oh, hang on. Where were Man United when they lost the league on the Aguero day? That was Sunderland, wasn't it?
That was Sunderland, and they won 1-0.
It was Rooney, an early goal, wasn't it? 11-12.
Yeah.
Jay, you happy with that?
Happy with that. Great shout.
Yeah, let's go for that.
Sunderland 0, Manchester United 1. Goal scorer after 20 minutes, Wayne Rooney. Excellent work. You lead 13 points to 8. We have a huge bit of both on our hands now, Coxie.
We are in trouble. We are in trouble.
We need all three here.
We are in trouble.
This was 2019 Tottenham against Ajax. So one of the first games at the new Tottenham Stadium. BT Sport, Gary Lineker again. There's actually 4 pundits here. You can score a maximum of 3 points.
Glenn Hoddle.
Hoddle's involved, yeah. Just thinking.
Got to be Crouch.
Love it.
Yeah.
Tottenham just thinking, player, BT mainstay.
The second game, it was Genus on co-coms with Fletch. So just thinking Hoddle. Yeah, Hoddle should have been in the studio rather than...
Sometimes they do the old two co-coms. They have Hoddle and another.
Pretty sure he'd have been studio.
Rio Ferdinand, again, mainstay on BT.
Glenn, Rio, yep. Crouch. Who's Ajax that they would have had? Could there be a Premier League, an Ajax Premier League? Van der Sar, not hit. He's
shipping Edgar Davids.
I mean, that would obviously make sense. I don't remember him. I mean, oh, could it be Martin Jol or someone? Could it be someone with Spurs connections as well? Would be sort of, you'd think would be their first choice.
Can't picture Martin Jol.
Assuming Jol has Ajax connections. He's managed Ajax, hasn't he? Or been involved with Ajax?
Seedorf.
And you know what? I know Jol was doing interviews around that time, so he was available. So it's very possible that he would have been gettable. And if he was doing interviews, he must have an Ajax connection. It couldn't just be the Dutch thing, would it? That would be weird.
Van der Sar.
It's Ajax. It's not pure. Not just Dutch.
Yeah.
I think they might have gone route one and tried to get Edgar Davids. Played for both.
I think they would have tried. I just don't know. He's not the most... kind of media friendly. Should we go with those three? And then I reckon it would be Martin Jol, but I think let's go with those three. They feel safer, don't they? The Rio,
yeah, we can
Hoddle.
Throw Martin Jol in. It's not a problem. Okay, so Crouch, Jol, Hoddle and...
Ferdinand.
Rio.
Ferdinand.
Rio was correct. Glenn Hoddle was correct. The other two were Edgar Davids.
No!
And Edwin van der Sar.
Oh my God, they're two of them.
So you mentioned all of them, I'm afraid. But only the two correct answers.
My goodness.
Fucking Edward
Davids. The score is 13 points to 10. Totally lead. As we go into the final question, we need them to get 0 on Happy Hunting Grounds and get all 3 in bit of both. It's still there. It can still happen. What are you going for in Happy Hunting Grounds?
Do you want to do one or should we keep going for 2, even though we don't need it?
I think we've either got to be tactical and go for 1 or just go for 3 for this, for the sake of good entertainment.
I really don't want to go for 3.
Let's go for 2. Let's go for 2, even though we don't need to.
For 2 points, your combination is Manchester City at White Hart Lane.
Oh, God.
At White Hart Lane.
Not the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
So there was the game where Dzeko scored 4. So I think the Dzeko game was the same weekend Man United beat Arsenal 8-2, ooh, which was the start of 11-12,
yeah,
the title-winning campaign. And I'm fairly sure Dzeko scored 4.
We only need the scorer to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty convinced by that. Dzeko, 11-12.
Edin Dzeko, 2011-12, is correct. 4 goals for the big Bosnian that day, taking your score to 15-10, an unassailable 5-point lead. Jay Harris pumping his fist at a train station.
With,
yeah!
With the stadium in the background, incredible. What a scene.
I want our bit of both anyway.
Yeah, we want our last question.
Absolutely. Right, let's see if we can close this gap a little bit as we relinquish our title.
Yep, so this is Euro 2020, and it's Spain 0, Sweden 0, a game I have no recollection of, I must say. This is on Five Live with Steve Crossman.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And
oh
my God. It's a little bit of a tricky one, so I'm going to give you a clue and say... There are three ex-players on the basis that both the people I tested this on said Guillaume Balague, which is not correct. So it's three ex-players who all made 200 or more Premier League appearances, and there's no overlap in terms of the clubs they represented.
Cesc Fabregas on the radio?
Yeah, Fabregas is a good shout. He would have been knocking around.
See, if Fabregas was working for the BBC, but this game was on ITV, on TV, Fabregas could have done a shift on Five Live to tick an appearance.
Keep him ticking over.
Yeah.
We're talking and then, Premier League, you know, real good, lengthy Premier League service here. So.
Fabregas feels good.
Chris Waddle.
What, as the kind of BBC
stalwart. Five Live stalwart.
Yeah.
Who'd have been out there. Who'd have been,
does that feel like that's his kind of level probably, yeah? That sounds about right, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, should we go Waddle, Fabregas?
There's no Swedes, really.
Roland Nielsen.
Magnus Hedman.
I was thinking that. Yeah, is there a goalkeeper? For some reason, that kept popping into my head. Not Thomas Brolin.
So it's definitely not Ljungberg and Fabregas because they played for...
It can't be. Yeah.
What uncompelling podcasting this is, by the way. Trying to pick a Swedish footballer pundit in a quiz that's already been lost.
A dead rubber of a question.
Instantly, when I say more than 200 Premier League appearances, the Swede has made 201 Premier League appearances.
Oh, who is this player?
200's a lot.
What's the Birmingham guy?
Seb Larsson. Yes, please. Come on, tell us it's Seb Larsson so we can all go home or just stay at home in so many cases.
So who are your three?
Larsson, Fabregas, Waddle. The dream team.
It wasn't Chris Waddle, I'm afraid. It was Micah Richards.
Fuck off. He's... cursed us.
Cesc Fabregas was correct. Very good.
Larsson played for Arsenal, didn't he? So it can't be him anyway.
Oh, God.
A good point. The Swede was Jonas Olsen.
Come on.
A very tough one.
That's so Five Live. Yeah.
Not only was it our time to lose, but it was our time to be handed around that was insanely difficult and utterly unenjoyable. So
I'm sure the listeners at home loved it.
15 points to 11 totally emerge as the victors. Well done, Michael Cox.
Thank you. Cheers.
Well done, Jay Harris.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Cheers.
And well done, Sasha Gorionov. Pleasure to have you as well. You stepped in with a couple of genius little moments there, so we can't compete with that team effort, frankly.
Thank you very much.
Good. Really, really enjoyed it. Enjoyed putting together the questions as well. It was great fun going through the internet commentator database to find... It's actually harder than you think to find punditry panels that have a bit of both. I thought it was going to be every match, but actually, no, quite difficult to find.
Wow. Well, Dave Walker, Charlie Akershire, we go away, we lick our wounds. Like a deposed boxing heavyweight, we need a big gun next to get our reputation back online, don't we?
Yeah.
We'll line somebody up. Well done to Totally Football Show. Your reputation remains intact. And thanks to everyone for listening. It's been a pleasure, as always. And we'll be back on Tuesday with the adjudication panel. See you then.